Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always on the Smallville. This podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and we're back for our 21st level 33.1 round table. I'm joined by Mr. Joy Deanberg.
Hey, how's it going?
Mr. J.J. Hodges.
What? Yeah. Hey, I'm here. Yeah.
Thanks, J.J. Mr. Jason Skipper.
Hey, how's it going?
And Mr. Mateo Santiago.
How you doing, guys?
So, lots of Smallville / Superman things we can discuss this time. We'll kind of, it's not one main topic really to focus on this time. We'll see where the conversation goes. But, you know, I do want to start out with what could be huge news or could not be, because that comes from Mr. Tom Welling, the always reliable source for, hey, I'm going to be an Arrow next season. Mr. Tom Welling. Tom's kind of a jokester that way. So here's the deal, right? If you haven't seen the news, someone did a cameo, or Tom Welling did a cameo for somebody. I don't know what the question, I don't know what the context was for this, right? Because sometimes people, they ask them to say something. Maybe they ask them a question, or they're like, hey, send this to a friend. Tom Welling said, hey, me and Mike Rosenbaum are working on an animated version of Smallville, but it's a secret. Don't tell anybody. And of course, the next thing they do is they post it on Twitter and the internet picks it up and it's crazy. Now, this does seem kind of random, but at the same time, Rosenbaum recently says something like this in like an Instagram Q&A on his own Instagram feed. So I'm like, okay, so here's my theory on it. And we can toss it around and talk about what our thoughts are, what we think the truth is, and what we'd like to see. That's kind of my thinking of it right now. I think the two of them do want to do one. I think they're pushing for that. I'm sure there probably are phone calls and stuff going on behind the scenes. And they're like trying to, okay, let's leverage some public opinion. You bring it up at conventions, that kind of thing. And I don't fault them for that, because some more cynical people out there would be like, well, they're just actors who want money. I'm like, well, yeah, but if they're going to give me more Smallville, I'll give them my money. So I see no problem. I'm 100% on board with this. And there's not going to be more live action Smallville stuff, right? But this, you know, well, who knows? But, you know, we said that before. this is a perfect way to pick up wherever, right? I my opinion, I just would ignore the season 11 comics, you know, just I know people are like, we got our, blah, 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 blah. You know, as a Star Wars, Star Trek fan, I understand that like there's all kinds of stuff that gets ignored all the time. I'm totally fine with them ignoring that and just picking up either after the finale or, you know, or somewhere after the flash forward in the finale, or there's so many possibilities you could go and bring everybody back, you know, that you can. No Oliver Queen or Chloe Sullivan. They're in Star City. You don't need them. If you had to have Chloe, Kristen Bell is Chloe. Okay, there it is. Okay, that's my
there
casting.
There we go. The Legion never heard of Chloe, so
We never heard of Chloe Sullivan, right?
No.
So don't you mean Chloe Queen? Yeah. So they moved to Star City. You don't need to talk about them. You have to have Tom and Michael. You have to have Erica. I think they'd all be on board, right? Here's the big one, that you have to have Michael McKean as Perry White. You have to do it. But he's done animation. And so you get the two pack of him and Annette O'Toole, because they're married, right? That's the crucial. You have to get them. And I think that's the missing piece. Everything else, okay, you get an Ashmore brother. Either one is fine to be Jimmy Olsen. There's two of them, so you have good chances. Anything else is a blank slate. You know, if they have to recast guest stars or whatever, like, fine, whatever. But if you get those people, I'm 100% on board. So that's where I am with it. I'd love to see it. I think with the success of Invincible recently, which we should talk about sometime in here. I think we mentioned that last time. There's an audience for this. And hey, HBO Max, and I don't know who owns what now these days with Warner Brother or Discovery, whatever. But I think that's a great way to revisit an old property, which is what every streaming service seems to be wanting to do these days. So that's my take on it. Mateo, let's start with you, man. What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
So, I mean, if this were to happen, theoretically, if this were to happen, I'd be ecstatic. This is incredible. Like, just the idea of getting the original cast, at least, like, at least Tom, Erica, and Michael, like, those are, like, the main three that are important to me. So if we were to get those three and get some sort of like animated story, I would love to get a story that takes place like that's something that bridges the end of season 10 and Crisis, kind of like getting essentially like the prequel to what leads to him being like powerless at the farm or whatever. But I mean, the source, yeah, it is Tom, you know, like, what is it? Actors, they say things that probably never happen. Like literally this morning, I read how Vin Diesel wants to do a Fast and Furious musical. So I don't exactly know like what exactly we can use as like credible source. So, but on, if this were to happen, this would be incredible. And I just think that overall we could use more animated stuff just because on HBO Max, like all we have is Harley Quinn, or is there anything else I'm missing? Or we're getting the new Batman show and the Superman show, My Adventure Superman, but, we don't really have that much. So, I mean, give us more, please, HBO Max. Like, make it happen.
100%, 100%. What about you, Jason? What are your thoughts?
Well, I read something on Reddit right before we did jumped on podcast.
The always reliable Reddit.
Yeah. And only five people have commented on this, but their thought was they would take season 11 and do it animation to that. And just kind of start it from there. So the storyline's already there. All they have to do is put the animation and the voice behind it. So I was like, okay, I have season 11. I have not read them, but I have them. So for me, it would be interesting to see this come to life. But I don't know. There's a big gap between what happened all the way up till Crisis. So I don't know where they fit that in.
Yeah, we've covered I think half of season 11 on the podcast, and we were going to do it all, but then you know the crisis happened, and I was like, well, now it's over, and we are going to finish those at some point here on the podcast proper. I enjoyed season 11. You know, I remember when I heard they were gonna. I don't know if you guys have heard. I mean, you guys have heard me probably tell the story, but like I was at Comic Con, and I asked at the DC Comics panel, like I was like, excuse me, like you know, there's been comic books that follow up Firefly. Can we get one for Smallville? And Jim Lee was like, that's a great idea. And of course it was already in the works, so they didn't say anything about it, but I take full credit for them doing that, bring that to the public attention. But when they announced that, and that was less than a year later they announced it, I was very excited. You know, get the picture Tom Welling in the Superman costume, which we'll never see in live action, but get him on the cover flying through the Smallville thing. And I enjoyed it. I think my main criticism of that was just the likeness of the characters. You know, you've heard us talk about that. If you guys have heard the podcast, it's like some panels that like that looks just like Michael Rosenbaum, and some like that could be any random bald person in cartoon form. So I the reason I say to just ignore it, because I don't know if they'd want to be married to that stuff. But if they chose to do that, I'd be equally happy, because then you get to see him meet Batman and Wonder Woman, all the people you couldn't see on the show. Either way, I think that's a fine idea as well. And that, of course, picks up right after the finale, as opposed to after the that takes place right after like the present day of the finale and not the 7 years in the future. So what about you, JJ? What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
I am in love with season 11. Like it was like everything I wanted Smallville to be in a weird way, right? You know, because it was like, oh, it's Superman now. Which is silly to say because Smallville was its own thing and I love Smallville for what it was. But, you know, if they are going to do it, I don't want them to do season 11 because season 11 exists in my head. It's that, right? So do a different story. So do your version of Cyborg Superman or, you know, Mongol or something we didn't see in the show.
There's not much. There's not much left.
Right. if they want to continue it, and if this is true, and I don't think they're messing around, because I think that during the pandemic, they probably did come up with some stuff and they're like, oh, we could do this, you know, in the pandemic and make some money off of it, because animation was kind of the only thing coming out during the pandemic. You know, hopefully everybody's now vaccinated and we're getting back to normal. But yeah, it's just, you know, the season 11 exists in my head and I love that for what it is. And if they're going to do something, I hope they do their own version of season 11. That's Tom and Michael's thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of my thinking as well. Yeah. But because then it's like you think about like from a business perspective that they have to pay the writers for that. And those are comic rights. So it's all very complicated. Yeah. But then there is a precedent because the DC animated films are all based off comic books. So they could just do that. Right. Smallville number one, Smallville arc number two, you know, Detective is the Batman one or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. All right, Joey, what about you?
I was going to say, yeah, I also, you know, really enjoyed season 11, but yeah, I don't think they should be married to it in any way. Just, I think it's a good building block. You know, there were some good ideas there. You know, if they say they're completely ignoring it, so they don't do anything with Batman, that'd just be a waste. So, you know, you have to have, you know, some of those other main characters in there, but I'd be more interested in just hearing, you know, the creative team that they're going to get in, you know, if they can get Alan Miles in there to, you know, be a part of it in any way, or, you know, just as, you know, is this just Tom and Michael coming up with stories and, you know, cause as we know, you know, Tom never read a Superman comic. So he might be wanting to mix up everything for there too, where, you know, this is more for, you know, the fans that have just been waiting to see, you know, his character as Superman.
I feel like it's helped if they keep the Crisis canon, which they should, because yeah. In my opinion, it's live action. So it's like, I know some people want to ignore it and, you know, it's what it is. Right. But if you have that as your endpoint, you can't do something crazy like, hey, Lana's going to come back and Clark's end up with her. Like, you can't do that. So like if Alan Miles came back, they might try something like that, you know, because remember, Lana wasn't gone until Alan Miles were gone. You know, I remember one of the it's, you know, when you like read or hear interviews of people creating the show, and I'm like, and you ask yourself, how can y'all be so out of step with what everyone thinks? They were like, you know, the greatest tragedy of Smallville is that Clark has ended up with Lana. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you watching the show? But then that explains the first seven seasons. And
again, Lex Luthor, excuse me.
And again, I love Smallville. I love Alan Miles. I'm just saying, like, they say something, and it goes for any creator on any show. It's like they say some things. I'm like, speaking of Lana, let's bring Kristen Kirk back. Let's get some kind of resolution for her character, because they did that in season 11. I heard Lois like fought Metallo in Africa. Like, that was a cool story there, and it explained how she got unkryptonited, which was a ridiculous plot development, which had nothing to do with Alan Miles because they were gone. So credit to them, right? Just. Because the fact, and that's always, and we'll, you know, we'll get there soon, or then later in the podcast, right? You get to season 8, and all y'all have seen season 8, right? It's not a spoiler.
Oh, yeah.
The whole fact that Clark and Lana didn't, like, choose to, like, we've grown apart, and we're different people. We've matured, and we understand that. And you, like, that's, relationships work that way sometimes, and that's fine. The fact that they were like, we'd still be together, but you're literal poison to me. Let me kiss you as you walk off. Like, that was the worst ending ever for that. Like, I that was terrible. And so if they could use this to kind of clean that up somehow, I would be all about it. So, because from where I'm sitting, if I saw this, I'm like, well, what if Lana did show up and she didn't have kryptonite? Then Clark, as he did in season 8, would just drop Lois and meet up with Lana again. Like, I don't want to think that, but like, the show has left me no other way to think about it. So I think Kristen Kirk might do it. You know, I mean, she's kind of get reconnected with, you know, everybody through the conventions, and she's still doing her Canadian TV show. So she's still, you know, in the industry, in the business. I don't know if she's ever done any voiceover stuff ever, though. So you might know.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't
know. Okay, because Michael's been doing it forever. I mean, he's, you know, goes back to DCAU. He's Batman Beyond villains, then of course the Flash. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to think of it. Michael McKean, you know, has, you know, he was he's been voiceovers on many things. He was the Joker on that Legend of the Dark Knight episode of the animated series, which was great. He was like the 50s Joker, and
I didn't know he was.
Yeah, he was.
He was in that Dark Knight Returns movie, but I didn't know he did that.
Oh, was Michael McKean in the Dark Knight Returns movie?
Yeah, yeah, he's a psychiatrist.
Oh, with the Joker, yeah. That's perfect. Okay. So yeah, so he's done it, and I don't know if anybody else has, but you know, Michael can coach Tom up on what to do. It'll be fine. So
I'm looking at Kristen's IMDb right now. So she recently did a voiceover for Watch Dogs Legion. So it's a video game, but it is voiceover.
Okay, so she spent some time in a sound booth. So here's your real question, right? If they say Batman, for example. Here's a hot take. I haven't seen the new Long Halloween. Have y'all? The animated?
Yes. Not yet. Yes. Not yet.
How is Jensen Ackles as Batman, JJ?
He's great. He's very much, he's his own Batman. And what I love is that he doesn't do a Kevin Conroy impression. Like Troy Baker plays the Joker.
As Mark Hamill.
Exactly. And I don't like that. Other people are like, oh, it's great. He's the spiritual successor. I'm like, no, because he's just doing an impression. I can do the impression and it's not my Joker, right? But Jensen Ackles, he's his own Batman and he's fantastic. And I love that he got promoted from Red Hood to Batman.
Yeah. Now, so I would love to see him as Batman. Sure. I mean, he's a huge fan and let him do it because keeping it in the Smallville family, right? I think that'd be really cool to have him as Batman. And from the show that gave you the twin brother of a returning freak of the week as Jimmy Olsen, there's a precedent for this kind of thing. So,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Jensen never became Superman, so he gets to be Batman.
That's right. That's how it works around here. So
yeah, Zachary Levi can be Lex.
Oh, wow.
If I can say to you, Zach, I've heard you say on the podcast where you're like, I don't think even Jeff Loeb knows who Holiday is. The funny thing is I was listening to a podcast where the writer Tim Sheridan of the movie, he said that he would talk to people who were fans of the book, and he got wildly different opinions on who Holiday was. And even the last time I read it, I was like, oh, I always thought it was Gilda. And so it is a mystery. We're not supposed to know who it is. And that sort of pisses me off. But at the same time, I just kind of laugh about
that's
it.
Some,
right?
That's some J.J. Abrams mystery box BS going on there.
Yes. Yes.
Jason, have you read The Long Halloween?
I have not. No. This is I'm behind on some stuff I need to catch up on.
Okay. This came out, I think, 1996. So
yeah, I'm way behind then.
Here I was born.
Oh yeah. No, it's I really love like there's some creative teams that have some runs on comic books, and like the Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale did quite a few Batman things in like the late 90s, early 2000s, and those are great. So I recommend that Dark Victory, which is a sequel, and then they have this other graphic novel collection called Haunted Night, which is just these it's an anthology. It's like Batman stories around Halloween. Right. Yeah. And they're all the same. They're kind of like the same universe, if you will. So I check those and they all kind of follow up year one as well. They're in that same vein. They're much more Dark Victory is much more Batman Year Two than Batman Year Two is. I don't know what DC was thinking when they called that Batman Year Two, but that's a good point about the Joker, JJ, because of course Mark Hamill is always the best gold standard. Mm-hmm. And I've heard Troy Baker and other things like the video games and like Assault on Arkham or all the, and yeah. Then like well it's
I mean, Young he does, Justice.
Young Justice was Brent Spiner.
Yeah, yeah.
You're thinking, think Injustice? Is it Injustice is Troy Baker?
It is. I think it is Injustice.
And I love Star Trek, but Brent Spiner was terrible Joker. And
really? I liked him.
I don't know. He was like in two episodes, and I was like, you're not Mark Hamill. Do a Mark Hamill impression. No, I don't know. I just... anyway, I haven't seen those episodes with him in a while. But I guess my point is, I agree with you about like, hey, man, like it's like the guy who does the Batman voice in Arkham Origins. I'm like, you're not Kevin Conroy. Stop that.
Yeah.
Stop trying to act like you're Kevin Conroy.
And no offense to Troy Baker or his name is Roger Craig Smith, I believe, who does Batman in those games or that game. No offense to them. They're fantastic actors. And when they do other stuff, they're really, really great. But when it comes to this stuff, it's like, I want to hear like when John DiMaggio.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention.
Yeah.
Under the Red Hood. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, that was his Joker and it was great. You know, yeah. I want to hear that. I don't want to hear, if I wanted to hear Mark Hamill, I'd watch the animated series. You know, yeah. It's that bugs me a little bit.
No, I agree. And I think they're, not on them because they're being told to do that. They're like, like this guy. So it's not them for sure. But, I think, Jason, if you want to catch up on some animated films, Under the Hood. Definitely. Yeah,
I'm taking notes right now.
Write that one down. That is okay. That's a top three Batman animated movie for me. Because it's hard to get better than the DCAU. So to me, it's like Mask of the Phantasm, Return of the Joker, we don't talk about Mr. the Batwoman. So those two are, or okay. Sub-Zero is not that good either, but under the hood or under the red under hood. The hood. Yeah. One of the okay. tennis, Jensen Ackles is Red Hood in that.
Yep. Fantastic.
Are all of these on HBO Max?
Yes.
Okay. Under the Red Hood. Is. So.
Yep. Okay.
Most yeah. of them are. Yeah.
I think oh. almost all of them are.
Well, and on that same topic, did I don't know if anybody watches Titans. Did the concept of them doing all of Red Hood, yeah. Red Hood story rope you in?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, surprisingly, yes. And the security guard that was killed at the beginning of the trailer looked like one of Jack Nicholson's victims. I thought that was a cool touch.
Oh yeah. Are they going to show the Joker? Or are they just going to be in shadows the whole time?
Probably shadows.
I mean, Bruce Wayne was fully on the show. He just was never Batman.
He was also bad. He was also not true. A good actor.
Just dang, ouch.
I haven't seen Titans. I'm familiar with it. Modern shows, you know, I'm living in the past over here on Always Hold On to Fill in the Blank. So I do want to binge it at some point. I've heard all over the place yeah, opinions. It's
very mixed.
There's like random episodes that are absolutely like phenomenal, and then the next one's just terrible. I mean,
yeah.
I will say, Esau Morales, who plays Deathstroke, arguably better. Arguably the best Deathstroke, in my opinion.
Better than Manu Bennett? Oh my goodness!
I know that might be blasphemy. That might be blasphemy, but
not as good of a story. I think that's
what it is. Like he's a fantastic Deathstroke and a pretty crappy story.
Yeah.
No, I'm 100% with you on that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like he was recently announced as like the villain for the next Mission Impossible movie, and I was like super stoked just because like his performance in Titans is honestly kind of unreal about like, cause I'm like, this is Deathstroke. This is the Deathstroke I want to see. And maybe I'm just still bitter about how Arrow season 2 did Deathstroke with like the whole love triangle thing.
No, I feel you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's so well written for him, at least in terms of his motivations for Titans and like the way he goes about his actions is so cool. So yeah, like I'm glad that Lance and Kev aren't here to
wait, with me. so he's the villain in Mission Impossible 7?
Yes, he is.
Yes, okay. Deathstroke is the villain in Mission Impossible 7.
I thought it was Tom Cruise screaming at the people who weren't following COVID procedures.
You know that. Let's talk about that for a second. I heard that audio. I really loved that audio because like it's like the good version of the Christian Bale rant, because Christian Bale was like, yeah. You know, I've quoted that in my life, and I will until the day I. That's one of the last things I'll see before I die, flash before my eyes, is the Christian Bale rant. And you know, but Tom Cruise, like his rant is very understandable. You know, he's like, "We're trying to keep this business open, big families." You know, like he's just yelling and screaming, and I can just see it. Has everybody seen War of the Worlds?
Yes.
I just think of this, a funny scene that always stuck with me is when he's yelling at his kids and he throws the peanut butter sandwich against the window. And like, that's what I have in my mind of him yelling at the crew. Anyway, that's fantastic. If you haven't seen that audio, go seek it out. It'll give you a good laugh. What's funny is they had to shut down again. So I would love for some more audio to leak because they had to shut down again after that. But anyway, I didn't know that about him being the villain in Mission Impossible 7. Henry Cavill is a great supporting character if you haven't seen the movie in Mission Impossible 6. So arguably a better performance is that character than Superman. But we're not here to talk about that today. We'll talk about other things. I guess bringing it around, a lot of this, all these animated, there's a lot of animated movies I still haven't seen either. So I got to catch up on some of that stuff on HBO Max. Pay for it every month. Might as well take advantage of it. I'll definitely get into the Titans. Doom Patrol. I've heard some people who don't like Titans love Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol is really great.
Yeah. Okay. Timothy Dalton was great. So I'm all about that.
Amazing. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because Doom Patrol shows up in Titans. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Crisis said they're two different Earths.
Yeah, that was weird. Well,
that's too, yeah.
So it's comes all together. But yeah, definitely check out Titans. I think that I mean I liked it, but
F Batman.
Yeah.
I think they're really good at making individual episodes. However, this overall story arcs doesn't really come together, at least for me.
Wow, that is like every show ever. So I'm all about.
I absolutely loved the Superboy stuff. I thought that was really good.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I really dropped the ball on that. I should have covered those episodes with him and Crypto or whatever, but like Superman special, but I didn't. So maybe I will at some point. So. Now,
what's everybody's opinion on the star-studded Super Pets movie?
I'm so excited.
I can't wait to watch it with my kid when she gets... Well, she'll get a little bit older, but you know, but yeah. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Now, is it going to be animated?
Yeah. Yep. Did anyone ever see that show Crypto the Superdog back in the day?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I am familiar with its existence, but that's about it.
That was prime right before school TV. That was perfect.
Yeah.
I actually, for a long time, thought it was in canon with the DCAU. Because like I was watching them both at the same time. So I honestly thought that it was in canon. But there was an episode where Lex Luthor showed up and he had like green skin. So I was just like, so that's it. That does not right.
Is this on HBO Max? I don't want to.
No, it's not.
That one's not. No.
You know, that's it. Okay. So
I bought it on Prime though before. I've rented it on Prime.
Wow. That is commitment. I respect you, sir. I want to. Does anybody watch Watchtower Database? Any of you guys?
No.
Yeah.
That's a great YouTube channel that focuses on DCAU, and they have this whole series called Will It Canon? So I hope one day they'll do this, like, does this random stuff fit? Like, they had a whole, like, I think it was like a half-hour episode on Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Because Teen Titans was coming out on Cartoon Network at the same time as Justice League. Mm-hmm. And people are like, well, is this Tim Drake? But no, he's Dick Grayson. And this, so it was, anyway, that would be a fun one to do to try to make them match, because that makes me think of, speaking of voice casts, makes you think about the Batman. You remember that?
Yep.
And I didn't really watch much of it. I was mad because it wasn't Kevin Conroy, you know. But again, that was coming out at the same time as Justice League. So I'm like, what am I supposed to think here? But when they did introduce Superman, Lois Lane, and Lex Luthor, they got Tim Daly, Dana Delaney, and Clancy Brown. I'm like, what is going on here?
I don't think it was Tim. I think that was...
Was it George Newbern?
It was George Newbern. Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're interchangeable.
Well, it was funny because I got turned on to that because of you, Zach, because I tweeted out, like, why did they say the Justice Guild and not the Justice Society? Because I was rewatching those episodes and I was kind of mad. And you were like, you got to watch this thing. And you.
Oh, the DCA, the Watchtower. Yeah, database. Yeah.
Yep. And I was like, and I watched it and it was Dan Reba. And he was like, well, we weren't allowed to use those characters. And I turned to my best friend and I was like, that's stupid. Doesn't make any sense.
DC is so weird. Like, we're talking about the multiverse that, you know, they have these Crypto the Superdog TV show coming out, but like, well, you can't use the Flash on Smallville. That would confuse people. I'm like, what are you talking about? But, those are other shows I want to go back and give it. Like, I gave Batman Brave and the Bold a chance, and I love that show. Yes. Like, that was talking about taking a complete different approach. Right. Mm-hmm. Dietrich Bader was Batman. He was great. And it was kind of Adam West vibe to the whole thing. And, you know, the aesthetic and just the zaniness of, but they embraced it. Like Aquaman, outrageous.
Yeah.
And that's all that Aquaman that put him back on the map, you know, as far as that was a great show. And then it got serious in some episodes where they needed to. Like, they had a whole episode about the death of the Waynes, and Mark Hamill was the Spectre and Kevin Conroy was the Phantom Stranger, I think, or something like that. And that's some legacy casting.
Written by Paul Dini, that episode.
Oh, man, there you go. It's as legit as it gets. So I think that was different enough, right? But the Batman was not different enough. And was like, what's the point of this, even if it's not going to be something radically different? So I got to catch up on more of these shows, but I do recommend Brave and the Bold. That was really fun. Fun show.
Great show. Yeah.
Going back to the Super Pets thing real quick. I'm honestly kind of shocked they've announced like a big cast, but the only like characters they announce is Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson as Crypto and Kevin Hart as Ace. I'm so curious. I'm so surprised that they didn't make Kevin Hart streaky, to be honest, given the chemistry that those two always have. Like, God, I would assume sense. That like
that'd be funny.
I thought they'd be like John Krasinski or Keanu Reeves to be Ace, but like I guess they're doing something different, I guess.
Well, they also have Diego Luna in there and Natasha Lyonne. So they've got a lot of big names. I'm looking at it on IMDb right now.
And yeah, Kate McKinnon.
Actually, yeah. Pink Jonas, or am I making that up?
Love
Kate you're making McKinnon. That up.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I mean, it says the directors are going to be Jared Stern and Sam Levine.
Or Levine. Sam Levine. Okay, I know. Yeah. He's from Freaks and Geeks, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember.
Yep.
He's done other stuff, but I'll always know him as that guy. So no, that's see, and that's fine. Like, it's strange how DC animation seems to embrace the multiverse with absurd things like Teen Titans Go to the movies and stuff like that. Yeah. But live action, they're still like very strange. They're very strange about this stuff.
I think it's because like for the movies, they want to make it as streamlined as possible for like the general audience. I guess just because like there's a lot of like random people who don't understand what like the multiverse is, so they just want to make it as simple as possible. That honestly is probably how the people in these companies are thinking. Like they just want to make it as accessible to as many people as possible. That way they can make as much money as possible.
The new Flash movie looks really accessible.
I think that is a perfect segue. Yes, that's a very, very good joy. So let's talk about the Flash, which I guess it's called the Flash now, although Flashpoint would be a much more appropriate title. So we got some character logos revealed and some set pictures. So JJ, let's start with you, man. Are you excited about the Flash and the images we've seen so far?
I will keep my answer as PG as possible. Yeah. I mouthed a bad word there, but seriously, you know, my friend Pete, who's a Batman on Film guy, you know, he runs a Twitter account called Team Yellow Oval, and when they
Team Yellow Oval, yeah,
exactly. So when they showed the Michael Keaton logo, he was like, I single-handedly take responsibility for this. We have the Yellow Oval back, and I was cracking up, but. Also, like, just from, you know, Zach, I'm sure you understand as well, like, growing up with those movies, like, that means something. And it looks like the Batman Returns logo. Mm-hmm. And, but also just, you know, the set pics, it's like, I tried not to look. I don't like looking at them, but I did. And
yeah. I feel you.
But Supergirl, when she was announced, when they did that beautiful video with Sasha Calle, a few months ago with her and Andy Muschietti. And, you know, she got the part and she was crying and he was excited to announce it to her. You all know what I'm talking about when I say that.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And seeing her on set and she looks like Lara Lane Kent from Injustice, one of my favorite comics of all time because I'm a diehard Tom Taylor fan. This movie, at least for now, who knows what'll happen with the final, you know, final thing, but it's on the right track. It's got Michael Keaton. It's got Ezra Miller. It's, you know, a new Supergirl.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, yeah. Hopefully who gets to be Batman and not just Bruce Wayne. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I am all about it. I'm so freaking excited. I think it'll be great.
Jason, what about you, man? What are your thoughts on all these Flashpoint images? I'm going to call it Flashpoint.
yeah.
Well, I'm excited for it. The big thing is when I saw the picture of Sasha and when they were showing like her in the costume and when in her uniform, I was wondering what was that on her stomach? Was that part of the harness or what were they trying to do right there? Because I saw and I was just like, okay, that kind of threw me off a little bit, but overall, seeing the pictures, I'm kind of geeked. I think that they've got it right. I think that they've got a great cast. I know that on IMDb, which I'm looking at right now at the same time as we're talking, it does say Ben Affleck as Batman. It does say that listed there. Now, is IMDb correct all the time? Oh, hell no. But this is absolutely the best pairing, having Michael Keaton, Ben Affleck, two great Batmans.
The two best Batmans, yes.
Yes. And I mean, you're not
stuck on that, Christian Bale. You heard it.
Well, I mean,
I'm glad someone said it.
Why would you say that name?
I was going to bash on George Clooney on his, but you know, no, I mean, we can just, you know, still keep beating up on Christian Bale all you want.
I agree. I think it's just what you guys are saying about how just meaning so much to people who grew up with those movies, you know, I mean, that's that. So, Joey, what do you think about this whole thing, man? Are you team, this is a great movie, or are you team, this is the worst idea ever?
I'm team, let it play out. I'm interested. I'm intrigued, but not sure how they're going to pull it off. I don't necessarily trust them to have a great plan to pull everything together. And
you don't trust WB? Why?
Because they'll be trying to mimic something, you know, whatever they saw as a great success like 5 years ago, they'll be trying that. And
Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, that's what I'm more waiting for Toby to show up.
Yeah.
In the Flash?
Yeah, he might at this rate. So, Mateo, what do you think in all this, man? These new developments, I forget if you were happy or not happy about this whole thing, but have these developments changed your mind at all? If so,
I would say, like, before I was definitely more on the skeptical side, and I still feel somewhat in that lane. I mean, I trust Andy Muschietti because he did a fantastic It film. The second one wasn't as great, but I mean, I trust him as a director altogether. And, I mean, yeah, Sasha looks great in the suit. And I definitely, am just hoping that, the movie has Michael Keaton. So like, he's going to give it his all. Cause like, he's just fantastic in most things he does. And I'm sure for the 5 minutes that Ben Affleck will be in the movie, he'll be great.
No, you're totally right. That's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, so what is it? I'm curious about how this is going to play out, like, because we didn't get any casting for like Reverse Flash or honestly, who's the villain? Who's the villain of this movie? I honestly don't know.
Exactly. Nobody knows.
I like that though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I figured it out. You're here first. Ezra Miller is the Reverse Flash and the villain. Logan, who's the villain? Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Boom. You heard it here first.
Oh, nailed my gosh. It. Yeah. Yeah, print that receipt because I think you might be right on that one.
You're right, because it was going to be Flashpoint, but now they've kind of retitled it The Flash again. And then Michael Keaton's Batman is going to kind of be the Thomas Wayne Batman, like play that role. Which makes sense because he kills people and has a problem with it. So that's cool. So here's my thing. Of course, like, I don't care about anything else about this, but Michael Keaton's coming back as Batman, so I'm in, you know? Yeah. So again, no one cared about a Flash movie, and no one would care. Okay? So this is a genius business decision. I'm like, what do people care about? Michael Keaton is Batman. Let's get him in here. Everybody's going to go see this now who wouldn't care. Like, normal people. Right, normal people will go see this because of this. So that's actually a shrewd but genius move on their part. And then you bring in Supergirl and you're like, well, what's this all about? So unfortunately, I think what they're going to do, depending on what you think about the DCU, whatever, right? But they're going to erase Ben Affleck, replace with Michael Keaton. I'm like, okay. And then they're going to erase Henry Cavill and replace him with Supergirl here. And that's what I think they're going to, I don't know how that's all going to shake out. Like, if she's his daughter, is it the future? You know, like, why would
a gender flip of him?
Maybe so. Right. Because Flashpoint had a different Superman but it's all, again, we don't know. There's nothing. We just don't know, which is kind of exciting. I don't know.
Has everybody here read Flashpoint, the comic book?
Yeah.
Okay. Like,
there's an animated movie for that too, Jason. So write that one down. It's probably on HBO Max.
That is on HBO Max. I just watched that a couple of days ago. If they go that route, first of all, I'm super bummed that if that's the route they're going, they're not using Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Thomas Wayne.
It would have been perfect. Batman. Like, as cool as I like Michael Keaton as Batman coming back. Like, no, that's not. You set it up perfectly to do the correct Flashpoint. So
yes, yeah, but at the same time, it's like, I like that I don't know what to expect. We were talking about before, we don't know who the villain is. Even with the Black Adam movie, we don't know who the villain is unless it just legitimately is Black Adam. And you know, there's set photos that I try not to watch. There was some figure in a black cloak And it's like, oh, they think that's Vandal Savage, you know, and it's like, maybe he's
no, that's someone hiding their costume from the press. That's what that is. But
that was how they hid Evan Peters in WandaVision. But, you know, sorry for spoilers, but it's been out for a while. You know, at the same time, it's like you were saying, it's like, oh, it's Michael Keaton as Batman. A friend of mine, I just did an episode of my show with, she sent me a picture of like Michael Keaton from the set. And it's like, oh, there's Michael Keaton in the movie. It's like a picture from that set. It's like, well, that's Michael Keaton as Batman. You know, it's like
I was concerned because you know how some stars come back to roles and they're just like, oh, it's the, but they're not like really coming back to the role. They're just showing up as themselves. Like Bruce Willis in all the Die Hards after 3, right? He just shows up and he looks like Bruce Willis in any movie. Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween H2O. Not the new ones. Actually, I think that's a perfect A-B comparison. Like H2O, she kind of did it for the money. She's even said this, like, yeah, I did it for the money. I was just showing up. New Halloween, she is like Laurie Strode, long hair, all this stuff. I'm like, okay. I was wondering, like, okay, is Michael Keaton just going to show up like he came off the set of RoboCop? Right? Or is he going to look like Bruce Wayne? And these set photos confirm they gave him the hair, right? The look. I'm like, he's straight out of, you know, 20 years after Batman Returns, 30 years at this point. So I'm all about it. And the fact that he's going to be, the fact that, you know, Lance always jokes about this is a Batman movie, right? The first image they released was a Batman logo, but see how excited people are, right?
Yeah.
When you see that and you see that it's like a Batman suit, he's going to be in some kind of mechanized, you know, Batman suit, which is fantastic.
Like a Kingdom Come thing.
Kingdom Come or Batman Beyond kind of mecha suit, something like that. To that point, this must lead to a Batman Beyond movie or I'm going to be very upset. Like it's just the fact that they got Michael Keaton back as Bruce Wayne Batman for this. I hope it would spin off to other things.
Yeah.
You didn't need this. And that's the thing. Everybody argues about this. Lance and I argue about this all the time. You guys have heard it. Like oh, you should have made Batman Beyond. Correct. But they could do that while getting people then to go see their Flash movie no one would have cared about. So they're trying to kill two birds with a stone.
Yeah.
But if they don't spin this off in Batman Beyond, I will be very upset because what has everyone talked about for 25 years about let's get Michael Keaton back as Batman and to just like use him once in a Flash movie and then never again, that seems like such a wasted potential. So he would, you know, through the events of this movie, he can't be Batman anymore. And then he meets Terry McGinnis and whatever, right? I want it to be Terry McGinnis. I would really like a real adaptation of that. Like if they just pick some random person or whatever, I would be disappointed. Like I've heard there's like, oh, it's gonna be Barbara Gordon or something. I saw these buzz. I'm like, no, that's Batgirl.
She's
not Batman Beyond. You know, Terry McGinnis is Batman Beyond. So anyway, that's my take on it. I'm just very excited. Someone who grew up with the Michael Keaton Batman movies, you know, back in the 90s when you get one Batman movie every 3 years and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge deal.
I would love to see Michael Keaton just kind of decide after this movie whether or not he wants to just continue with DC or just go back to Marvel as Vulture.
Yeah,
that's the true Marvel versus DC decision right there.
Yeah, because he's going to be in Morbius.
Apparently.
Right? Is he in No Way Home as well?
It's not confirmed.
Who the hell knows who's in No Way Home?
There's been a lot of rumors that are bringing back pretty much every...
Every villain
from every movie. Yeah
I've heard Kirsten Dunst, I've heard Emma Stone, I've heard Willem Dafoe for No Way Home. Who the heck knows?
Doc Ock,
officially Doc Ock, Alfred Molina and Jamie Foxx, officially those two.
Somebody just asked Tom Holland, he should tell us. This guy has no spoiler warning in his head. He's just like, oh, well, yeah, I saw Willem the other day. He was great.
Right.
Yeah. So, but hey, the Flash logo, it's funny. They showed the Flash logo. People are like, oh, the Flash logo. Next, who cares? You might miss that it's actually the proper Flash logo now, or with the white oval behind it and all that stuff. Yeah. So they've updated Ezra Miller's costume. Perhaps Michael Keaton's Batman gives him that. Here's a hot take. I would love, and they won't do this, either they don't have the technology or they just don't care. But you know those OnStar commercials with Batman and then Michael Goff is the Robo Alfred on the screen, or even Batman and Robin. He's like, I'm a simulation, right? I'm like, can we have him in the movie a little bit, right? Can we just CGI make him a cartoon and have a voice in person? We can't. Ian Abercrombie as well has passed away, so unfortunately, neither Alfred's from like the 90s 2000s era. Good, but I would love that. I think it'd be cool because he's got to have somebody, right? Perhaps a Terry McGinnis to be his.
Even though they didn't work together, they could bring Chris O'Donnell back.
See, no. You can't do that. You can't, can't do that. Marlon Wayans or bust. Marlon Wayans is Robin. And then the Supergirl costume, right? We've seen it, you know, they need to get on this. They need to release some official images of these characters before people start snapping photos on the street. It's the same thing with like Chris Nolan, when spoilers for The Dark Knight Rises, people, some set photos of quote unquote Miranda Tate walking around in a, you know, let's just say a Middle Eastern looking costume. Like, oh, that's Talia.
Yep.
Right. And it's like a year later, like, here's the twist. It's Talia. I'm like, yeah, we know, because we saw her walking around in this League of Shadows outfit. Chris, yep. Way to go. So just, I don't know, like, control your, hey, I'm all about location shooting, though. Better that than in a green screen where everything's fake. I'm just saying, like, they could have got ahead of the story, because now they're going to be behind the story. Like, you know, like, no photos of Brandon Ralph as Kingdom Come Superman leaked before the official images for Crisis. Right. And that's what I'm saying, yeah, for this stuff. But it's interesting that it is in the Henry Cavill style costume, which tells me that she's connected to the Superman somehow. Like, she's not, like, I thought, well, they are on Michael Keaton's Earth. It's this Christopher Reeve, Margot Kidder's daughter. Like, but no, she'd look totally different if she were. So I don't, what part of the movie is this in? Like, are we talking about time travel and alternate universes? So I don't know. But hey, Michael Keaton's back as Batman, and that's really all that matters at this point. So
it has to be some sort of alternate timeline, because those said pictures showed up on the same day. So clearly whatever Bruce Wayne was doing that day, Supergirl shows up. So it and her looking, having the Earth 2S that Henry Cavill has, I think it's some sort of alternate timeline that Flash is going to be like, oh, well, what did I do? You know, blah, blah, blah. Like the comic book.
So Ben Affleck is going to turn into Michael Keaton.
I would not mind being turned into Michael Keaton if I was Ben Affleck.
Wouldn't.
Or just being
a 70-year-old Michael Keaton.
I've had a good life. Yeah.
That's my thing. Right? I'm very conflicted on that stuff, because I'm like, he's my second favorite. They're both my, you know, favorite Batmans for different reasons. Live action, everybody knows Kevin Conroy. Okay, there's your animation disclaimer. But you could still do so much more with either of them, independent of each other. Like, I don't want to throw Michael Keaton into the DCU. Just keep him in the Burtonverse, and then we can have those stories, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we are on that. Anything else you guys want to bring up? Or we could have some Smallville talk. I mean, not, you know, we talked about the animated show, but anybody have any Smallville thoughts you want to share? Superman and Lois, anything like that? You know, as we...
I'm a little behind on Superman and Lois.
Okay. How far behind are you?
Two episodes, I think.
All right. So do you know that Superman has other family members we didn't know about before?
The last thing I saw was Morgan Edge saying in the end of the episode, it's like, brother.
What up, bro?
Yeah. Brother.
Yeah. Essentially, yes.
Yeah, that's where I'm at as well.
Hold a Hulk Hogan.
Brother.
Brother.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we'll do when the season's over, we can kind of recap there, I guess. We're all cut up and stuff. But I do have some Superman mythology issues with that. But on the whole, I am very much enjoying the show. And so, like, yes, you know, like, I'm not hasn't won me over to watching all the other shows again and the Arrowverse, like Supergirl. But Tao, you checked out Supergirl a little bit, right?
Yes, I have seen.
Well, what's our Supergirl report? Okay, what's the word, geez, over there?
I'm not gonna lie, it's jarring going back to like after watching Superman and Lois, just going right back to Supergirl, especially like continuity wise, especially just because like, you know, like when you watch him in Lois, like he has the red eyes again, she still has the blue. So I'm like, is this on the same Earth? I don't know. What is it? They like literally it picks up right where it left off. And obviously like COVID changes, whatever, but they're still using the same fortress that they had before. So I'm like, I don't understand what the timeline is with all this.
Do you think they're going to reveal at some point that it's a different Earth? I mean, that would make their lives a lot easier.
Well, we do know that Diggle is showing up later on in the season. So it has to be on the same Earth. Unless,
what if he's the Diggle from that Earth? Yeah.
I think based on what they like revealed about like his story arc for, because he's been on Batwoman, he's gonna be on Legends, I think. So I think it's gonna be the same Diggle. But yeah, what is it? I'm definitely just like, I think that my theory with Supergirl right now is that they're going to definitely like take her off the board at the end like I definitely think she's like going to the future, or maybe they're gonna do like a all-star Supergirl or something like that. Like I definitely think that something's gonna happen where
they should just watch they should just watch the last four seasons of Smallville on ideas of how to remove Supergirl. Like, as soon as they introduce Supergirl, hey, season seven's coming up, right? It's like, as soon as you introduce this character, like, okay, how can we remove her immediately? It's like, it's just like,
it's like, anybody listen on that same topic, did anybody listen to the Michael Rosenbaum's podcast with
that was fantastic.
I haven't yet.
Well, and at one point he was asking her, he was like, you were never a series regular, right? You were just a guest star.
Like, oh, just a guest star. That was, she was like offended by that. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah. Michael was checked out that last season, though. He didn't know. So but no, that was a great, as it is with every conversation he has with all the Smallville people and a lot of other people too, but those are mainly the one. I haven't listened to every episode, right? I make an appointment to podcast listening to when Smallville people are on, and the other one's kind of when I get a chance. And but that was that just came out not too long ago, and that was a fantastic conversation. So but so what you're saying, Mateo, is don't bother checking out Supergirl.
I mean, I don't know how relevant it's gonna be. Like, honestly, I just don't know how, like, if you wanted to connect these shows, how it would possibly work. Like, we all want Cryer to be on Superman and Lois, and I'm just like, he feels so tonally off from Superman and Lois right now. Like,
yeah, he fit in with Smallville in that one scene, but
so I mean, I have hope, obviously, and I think like if they eventually want to write him into the show, the writing will support him, and Cryer will definitely do good. But they're definitely just playing him up to be more. He's very Gene Hackman at the show in the show right now. Like, if we're comparing him to like other various versions of Lex, like, they're definitely writing him to be more Hackman like, which drives me insane because I'm like, we have too many Hackman versions. Like, can we get like can we get like someone who like is other versions of Lex? Like, it's kind of funny because spoiler alert, but I mean, like, we all know that John Henry Irons is on the show.
Loved that twist.
It's a great twist. But what's so funny is I read a interview with the actor, and he was told that he was going to be a different version of Lex, and he said how like he was so excited he actually watched all of the DCEU, and he was going to channel that version of Lex. I'm like, man, we missed out.
Man, the DCAU, let's be clear.
Oh yeah, did I say the EU?
I don't know. Just sometimes people, if they've misheard him, I just want to be clear, DCAU is what he rewatched. And that would have been fantastic.
But you don't want Jesse Eisenberg? Like,
no, I don't at all.
I think you do. Yeah.
Now, to be fair, I've come around on liking him like in his own little, in that version, but that's not what I wanted. That's not what anyone needed. We needed Billy Zane as Lex Luthor is what we needed.
Well, that is
100%.
Thank you. Paradoxical.
Billy Zane, P.T. Barnum, on Legends of Tomorrow. Thank you for misusing actors yet again. Makes sense, though, Mateo, that John Cryer is like Gene Hackman, considering he played Lenny Luthor, the nephew of Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor.
Grew up, yeah.
Biggest casting missed opportunity on Smallville, John Shea, Lois and Clark's Lex Luthor, should have been the older clone Lex Luthor in Lazarus. So that's my hot take.
That's a good take.
Thank you.
He ended up being Jack Zer though. So
that guy did.
Well, yeah.
the guy who created Cyborg on Smallville played old Lex Luthor and then became Jack Zer. Correct. Actually, he did shave his head though. Good for him.
It's funny because I was listening to
Mackenzie Gray. That's his name.
Yes. I was listening to the episode of Rosenbaum's podcast with Howie Mandel, and he brings up that he played Mr. and Mrs. Billick on Lois and Clark.
What intern told Rosenbaum that? There's no way he knew that.
No, Howie Mandel brought it up.
Oh, okay.
Because he said, I'm just like you. I played a villain on a Superman show. That's what he says in it. It was so funny. He also does the Bobby Jenrick voice, by the way, Bobby's World. He can still do it. So that's cool.
Nice. Oh my goodness gracious. Well, I will definitely tune in for Supergirl's series finale. We'll have to do a Superman special on that on the podcast proper, because I talked about I did a Superman special on season one of Supergirl, because at the time I was like, oh my god, this is content, Superman content. And then whenever Superman showed up, you know, the four times he showed up on the show, that's crazy, you know, because I really liked Tyler Hoechlin's Superman when he showed up. I was like, yeah, this is the best 2-hour Superman I've seen since 1980s. So and then it's just they kept them around and they were like, Supergirl's so much better than you in every episode. And I got kind of tired of that. And now they've kind of realigned him. And my really only complaint about Tyler Hoechlin, well, I have two. One is the costume. Shoulders too big. You know, he looks like a padded suit. So I want lower shoulders, lower neckline. The costume's great. And then I would like more of a distinction between him as Superman and him as Clark Kent, because that doesn't exist. Like there's no difference. Yeah. There's no way no one recognizes him the same guy. I'm like, yeah, there we go.
he's Dean Caning it. Yeah, for sure.
Dean Cain did a better job differentiating the two of them. I mean, seriously.
I disagree, but yeah.
Okay. Here's a take, right? I think like any actor who like is auditioning to be Superman / Clark Kent needs to like watch the scene from 78 where Christopher Reeve, he's like, he just shows up as Clark and he's hunched over. He takes off the glasses, straightens himself up. And he like becomes Superman. You literally have to like show that to every actor and be like, can you do this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's honestly one of the best acting I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's 100%. that scene, and then both versions of the scene in Superman 2 where Lois finds out he's Superman. You know, you could just, the shift happens without a costume change. And there's like, look, as much as I joke about it being my fourth favorite Superman, he always will be, because no one's going to take the first three slots. I know the Brandon Routh people are like, he's only Superman for a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, but he's Christopher Reeve Superman. I love Kingdom Come Superman of Crisis. So all four of them are on the Mount Rushmore, of course, Reeve and Welling are the other two. So fourth place on that list is not an insult or anything. It used to be, I would joke about it, but now I'm like, no, I really do like you. But that is a huge thing, man. Like when he, even in the pilot where he takes the glasses off to tell his kids, I was like, you look there's no change here. Like there's, so you know, and I don't know, but hey, he's really selling to it nicely. I just, you know, and there is an episode that y'all haven't seen yet, a couple of y'all, that kind of shows the backstory, which I really love that episode. It's probably my favorite episode of the show so far. And I love all the changes they made between Lois and Clark and their relationship. And like, I'm like, this is the way it should be. This is fantastic. He still didn't act any different as Clark Kent. He was exactly the same.
So well, I love that Fleischer suit. So,
oh, that's you see that again. That's fantastic. That's probably third favorite Superman suit. So,
well, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So with Superman and Lois, are you seeing things that you wish you would have seen in Smallville season 10?
100%. 100%. This episode, this last episode before the hiatus, was like, this is what I wanted Smallville seasons 8, 9, and 10 to be. the whole setup between the Clark and Lois relationship is like blasphemy. Right? Stand by, everyone. Probably my favorite in live action. Right? I'm serious. Like, but the way she responds to Clark and Superman, I'm like, this is how a woman like Lois Lane would respond to this. Not like, oh my God, Superman. And then, of course, in Smallville, it's just like, we've been friends and not liked each other for 7 years, but now we're in love because da, 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 da. And you know, it's, you guys know my thoughts on that. We'll get into it on the show. Now, I did like Lois in season 8, 9, and 10. I just, there was so much like nonsense to get where we needed to get, and that wasn't the case here, because they met and they had it. I don't know, it was very short and condensed, but I really bought what they were selling. So I'm 100% on board with that, Jason, to answer your question.
And they also
show, is incredible.
Yeah. They also show a pretty good separation of Clark and Lana in that flashback episode, where it's just, I won't spoil anything, but it's much better than kryptonite poison suit.
Yeah, you know, this Superman respects someone wearing an engagement ring. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Unlike Brandon Routh Superman, am I right? My third favorite Superman. What a loser. anyway. No, but you know, but that was kind of similar though, if you think about it, because he's like, oh, well, I can't be with her external things, not myself. I wonder if we're going to get any more flashback episodes. I would love to get some more. The funniest thing,
at least one a season.
This is no spoiler for y'all, but the funniest thing to me in that whole episode was seeing Kyle Cushing like for like 10 seconds as like a younger dude. He was like, as clean shaved, he had a baseball cap. Like, how do we make this guy look younger? And that's what they did. It was just kind of funny.
So. Well, that's the same thing they did with Tyler, is he didn't have his 5 o'clock shadow,
which he didn't have as Superman when he came on Supergirl. but now he has it all the time. Anyway, it's fine. It's fine.
Like Tyler Hoechlin is our age, Zach. Like, you know, it's just crazy to me. And I'm just like, oh, okay.
We could be him. What did we do wrong? We didn't live in Canada. We're not 6 foot two. That's our biggest problem in this world.
I blame my father.
One of the funniest things, it's not too spoilery, it happens at like the first 5 minutes, is the creation of the fortress, how like what is it, younger Clark, like he makes the fortress similar to how we've seen it before. But what's actually kind of funny is that he throws the crystal like right in front of him, and like the fortress like builds around him, and he like falls or something like that, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Tom was smart enough to chuck it.
Yeah.
I did like the new take on the fortress, though. That was just something fresh.
Yeah, except for Jor-El. I don't like him.
Well, we shouldn't be seeing him for much.
That's
longer.
Right. But anyway, we'll stop there. Don't want to spoil everything for you guys. But, and the crystal not being green is a huge plus, because I'm sick of trying to explain to people how it's not kryptonite. My entire life I've had to do that. Mr. Man, the movie.
Every time I see it, though, I think it's gold kryptonite now, though.
Well, it's kind of orange, so I guess that's like the most neutral color you can get for Superman. I don't know.
Yeah,
like they should have just made it the same color as the one from Smallville. Just like, it's not like blue kryptonite, it's like a shiny clearish one. Like,
yeah,
that would have been easy.
Or just keep it or you can do what Lex Luthor did in Superman Returns and not understand that we had one crystal that made the fortress and the rest of them are like USB drives. So you can't just drop that into water. And for Superman Returns, I have a love-hate relationship with. I'm on the upswing of it right now. Like, I'm like, yeah, that was pretty good, right? But for people who are so slavishly like committed to the original couple Superman movies, like these crucial fundamental mistakes, like those other crystals don't build Fortress of Solitude. It's like, that was specific. Anyway, that's where I am on it. But I really am liking Superman Lois. Like, I'm like, for that's great Superman content. It feels good. It's been a while since we had consistent great Superman content. Am I right?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Hey, Joey, I want to say, you know, I love the two posters you have there.
Thank you.
And the one yellow Superman poster there makes me re-excites my love for Tom Taylor doing a Superman Son of Kal-El comic book.
Oh, I
yeah. Because there's a variant cover that's in that style. Yeah.
Oh,
so
cool.
Every time it cuts to you, I'm just like, oh, there it is.
So. Now that's Jonathan Kent is the new Superman?
Yes. Right, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're keeping the Bendis aging of him, which I'm not crazy about. But if Tom Taylor's doing it, I'm okay with that. Say what you will about evil Superman, but Tom Taylor can write the hell out of evil Superman in Injustice.
No one is a better evil Superman than Tom Welling. And Christopher Reeve is a pretty good one too, Superman 3. But Tom Welling, like, I would have given anything to see like evil Tom Welling Superman fight all these other ones.
Ultraman, yeah, yeah,
Ultraman,
his
Ultraman T-shirt. I should get a T-shirt like that. I really should. I'm sure somebody makes one on Pinterest or something. You know,
yeah, yeah,
so, or just an upside down, you know, Pentagon with a U in it. I can do that. So
the man of tomorrow, Clark Luthor.
Oh man, why is his name Clark? I love those episodes, but it makes no sense.
Well, he still loves Martha, so he's got to get her.
He didn't know.
Why would you say that name?
There it is.
There it is.
He should have been Julian Luther. That would have done it, but they forgot.
Yes. Yes.
Or Lucas Luther, but they forgot about him too. You know, actually, Julian Luther they didn't forget about, because we're about to get into season 7. And here's a hot. Let's we'll wrap it up with a little Smallville talk here. What do you guys say? A little more Smallville talk.
Sure. Let's go for it.
Grant Gabriel is a horrible character. He's terrible. He serves no purpose. His function of getting Lois a job at the Daily Planet is so just lazy storytelling. And no offense.
He wants to get
laid. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. But no offense to the actor's name who played Jimmy Olsen. In
Michael Cassidy. CBS.
Michael Cassidy, in no relation to Patrick Cassidy, who played Henry Small, Lana's biological Katie father, Cassidy, or Katie Cassidy, who plays lots of Cassidys out there in the show business, let me tell you.
Lord, yeah.
And, you know, because, you know, we're getting to season 7 now in the podcast, and I'm like, you know what? Am I going to like it more than like I did season 4? And this guy showed up and was like, nope, I remember. So, hey, so Jason, thoughts on Grant Gabriel, if you recall?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, he was terrible. Didn't help the storyline at all.
I mean, like you said, he was there just for a love interest of Lois. And pretty much, I mean, you saw him trying to... There were moments where he and Lex actually had some great chemistry and conversation on screen. Outside of that, he didn't further the story at all.
What about you, Joy?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was on par with the, you know, not nearly as inappropriate, but similar vibes to, you know, Lana and Jason.
Good call.
You know, kind of went back into that part of the playbook. And then I just remember when they make the big reveal, how big of a flip he all of a sudden was. Like, oh, I've been in on this the whole time.
Also like Jason.
Yeah.
You guys had no idea about this 3 weeks ago.
I was just so poorly conceived. And you know what? Whenever I list off all the like the people Lois dated before Clark, I always forgot about him. And I'm like, man, you know, I was such a like a Lois Oliver shipper on Smallville. I was like, this really works really well. Like, hell, we'll have them go off together in their show, and then Chloe can be with Clark. Anyway, this did not work the same way. You know, they can't do that like again. You know, like you just did that last season, and the only reason we're cool with it is because it's Green Arrow and he's Batman and it's cool on this universe. But anyway, so Mateo, what are your thoughts on Julian Luther's clone, Grant Gabriel, spoilers for Smallville season 7?
I mean, yeah, the fact that he turned out to be like a clone of Julian is the most interesting part of his character, to be perfectly honest. Like, his relationship with Lois kind of like makes Lois's character weaker, because like him having a thing for her is the only reason she got hired at the Daily Planet in the first place, which is really stupid. And also, like, he's like throwing Chloe, who's worked very hard, a lot of shade. So it's just like, like he literally shows up and just like kind of like makes our two of our strong female characters like weaker. So that was really, really
very
bad.
Very progressive storytelling, Swavo. Let's pit these two main characters against each other.
I mean, I did like what it generated between Lex and Lionel. Like, one of my favorite scenes of the season is between Lex and Lionel, when Lionel essentially confronts Lex about the idea of like cloning his brother. And he's essentially like, you disgust me for like essentially desecrating your dead brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, I think I'm paraphrasing how it goes down, but essentially he's like, Lex is like, wouldn't you know what it's like to regain the son that you lost? And Lionel literally just like responds, it's you I lost.
Oh, that's good. I forgot about that dialogue. I remembered it now because I block out much of season 7 in my mind. But that's
good stuff. There's a lot of Lex and Lionel good dialogue.
Well, and those guys make everything better. You know, I mean, like those guys, I mean, and this is both their final seasons as regulars. And I do remember like the scene, like where it's like raining and Lex drops the cell phone, like yells into it. And I'm like, that's a little, it was good, I think, but a little melodramatic. And we've kind of been there before. But anyway, does Lois even acknowledge that Grant Gabriel dies?
Nope.
No,
just keeps going.
Fantastic. No. It's fantastic. Should have named him Richard White. That would have been more interesting, you know?
Oh.
But then they have to, how did this guy, he like came from, what, how did, I just forget, like, how does he even get that position if he was a clone that was made like a year ago in a lab?
And this is before Lex bought the Daily Planet. So it's even more confusing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Cause if he, at least he owned it, he could like slip him in there like that. Yeah.
Yeah. We're making this up, but I feel like he's telling Lois about how when he was a Cub reporter, he did this and that. I feel like I remember that.
Yeah.
We're all the failed Julian Luther clones in the Cadmus Labs facility with all the Lex clones. So how they get worse cloning
a
Lex.
Lot of clones.
Model 503 was never alive, so I remember that. Yikes! But anyway, yeah, it's I remember now. I'm like, so there's no Martha, there's no Jonathan, there's no Green Arrow except for one episode.
Yeah.
Jimmy Olsen's still here. I do really like Supergirl, though. I've always liked her on the show. Like, I hate the concept of her on the show, but the execution of it is very well done. I love Laura Vandervoort as the character. She's great. Met her in person. She's fantastic. So I think that's raised my opinion even further of her. So she's not the problem here, right? Of season 7. Like, I think, okay, great. But all that other stuff. Oh, well, Lex's descent in the villainy and his ultimate, you know, Fracture's a great episode. I cried during that episode for real. So. You're my best friend, Clark. Oh my God. The feels. Anyway, it's okay to cry sometimes at TV shows. But anyway, I'm looking forward to getting to season 7. I'm sure you guys are interested to get into it as well, considering all the shade I've thrown at it over the years on the on the podcast. Because the thing is, season four, right, as much shade as I threw at it, it has some of the best episodes of the entire show, right? And I don't think season seven, I mean, Apocalypse, pretty good. Descent, maybe.
Descent's amazing.
Descent is great. No, I would argue that
Hero.
I feel like I'm always on the outside here when you all are like, oh, I didn't like this. And I'm like, I didn't mind it. Like I think it's called Gemini, the Christmas episode in season seven, where there's a bomb on Chloe, right? And the guy's the other Julian clone. I love that episode. If for no other reason than like you were just saying, Zach, like Michael Rosenbaum elevates the material. Like when he kills the older Julian clone, he says, "You're not my brother. You were a mistake." And it's just, you just see how far gone this guy is. Mm-hmm. Like he's trying so hard to find love that he literally tries to create it.
That is very on brand for Lex. Like not only this Lex, but the Lex of the comic books using dark science. And like, that is a great, I mean, that's been a clone thing for him in every version, right, of the character. Yeah. So that did track.
Yeah.
I just hated the Grant Gabriel character.
I didn't like the Grant Gabriel character, but when they revealed him to be the Julian clone, that didn't bother me as much. I was like, oh, this character makes a little bit more sense now. And they killed him off like the next episode, which again is on brand for not only Smallville, but Lex Luthor.
That's true.
But, you know, I don't know. Like that actor I really liked. I thought he did a good job with what he was given. And Rosenbaum too, you know, it's just like, he's like, Lex, he said he was me and blah, blah, blah. And he tries to like lie about it. He's like, I can't believe you believed him and blah, blah, blah. And it's such a great scene between the two of them. They had good chemistry. At least.
Oh yeah. I'll give you that. I'm going to keep an open mind, but based on what I've rewatched so far on him and also the doing the math of how old he's supposed to be.
Surely he should not have been an editor at the Daily Planet.
He should have known he was a clone. Because he would be like 16 years old or something.
Right.
Because if he was born when Lex was 13, I'm going to do a Smallville timeline one day. It's going to be great. So you guys stay tuned for that. But
Smallville
anyway.
Will it canon?
Well, Smallville Will it canon. I mean, we'll name it something where I don't get, you know, copyright infringement from WB and Watchtower database. So, but anyway, yeah. So that's, they should have brought back Lucas Luthor. I would have much preferred that, but I guess he was busy on Vampire Diaries that season. So him and Adam Knight were busy over on Vampire Diaries. So Adam Knight, that guy should have been a Julian Luthor clone. You know, it was early Smallville enough. They could have done that. So
he should have been Batman
for like his first 3.5 episodes. That still works.
They
then it takes us
that so much.
Oh yeah. They claim he was never going to be. I disagree. You don't cast that guy and make him a computer expert, martial artist, genius, and then be like, oh no, he's just some random dude. Like,
and also,
that honestly blew my mind.
Yeah, and Ian Somerhalder, he looks like he could have been a young Bruce Wayne. You know, like,
Who remembers what his actual name was? It wasn't Adam Knight. Who remembers?
I don't.
Oh my gosh. I literally just heard it the other day on the Save Me podcast. I'm totally blanking.
Chad Nash.
Mateo, are you listening to another Smallville podcast?
What is it? Small plug. It's fantastic. It's literally just a documentary podcast about like the making of the show. Like it's only going to be like 6 episodes because like it's like one every month. Like it started from May, which is the 10-year anniversary of the finale, and it's going to end in October, which is on the 20th anniversary of the pilot. And essentially they're just going over like the creation of the show and like its entirety of its run. It's actually really informative. No shade to you and the Smallville companions and things of that nature.
Well, he's already getting your money, so yeah.
Speaking of that, Mateo, did that scene they played in the last one with from Talisman throw you off? And then at the end, it was the scene between Lex and Lionel. I'm like, where is this audio from? And apparently it's from the director's cut of Talisman, courtesy of John Schneider. And it was Lex and Lionel talking about the Starblade and who was Sagitt. And I was like, I've never heard this before in my life. What is this from? So there's some like, director's cut of that. Just John Schneider directed Talisman. So I guess there's some director's cut.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Did I miss this on the DVD or something? I was like, I've never heard this before in my life. So that was fascinating. But anyway, Chad Nash. What a name. Well, there you have it, guys.
He changed his name.
I would change my name to Adam Knight, too. That's a badass name. So, all right, y'all. It's been a lot of fun talking all this stuff as we do here on level 33.1. But let's go around the round table here and tell people where to find you out there on internet. Joey, where can people find you out there?
You can find me on Twitter at JoeyD94_13.
All right. What about you, JJ?
You can find me Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at 4ComicJunkies. That's F-O-R, 4ComicJunkies. And my show, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts, 4ComicJunkies. Zach has been a guest on the show. He's going to be a future guest. Spoiler alert. We talk about comics, pop culture, and how it affects our daily lives.
All righty. What about you, Jason?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Skipper818.
And finally, what about you, Mateo?
You can find me on Twitter at MattSantiago88.
Sounds good. So we'll be back next time talking about something else with another topic, either one of these or, you know, I don't ever know when these are going to come out. So I never know what's actually next. But stay tuned for more exciting takes from everybody on Always Holding Smallville. But until then,
always
hold on to Smallville. Always on Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Darren Kirsch, Joy Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ DeWinna, Nathan Rothatcher, Casey Cochran, Nathan McKenzie, Jason Skipper, Steve Rogers, Joe Mickendo, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, John Curcio, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Thomas Navin, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Mark Itzvapen, Alex Ramsey, Jason Davis, Patrick Bravo, Patricia Carrillo, Jacob Stevenart, Diana Bias, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clon Kant, Becca Zeifel, Jacob, Mariana Sachi, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Goso, Erica Flynn, Jared Gibbs, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Magelli, Keith Falls, Lauren D., and Cody Thomas. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.